Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and in the studio with me is Crown CEO and the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, in just a few minutes, you're going to be teaching about the most overlooked component of stewardship and fulfilling God's purposes for your life.
Dave, so often we think stewardship is about us. It's about getting our finances in order so that we can live a better life. In fact, it's the reverse of that. It's about getting our finances in order so that God can use us for His purposes. And I look forward to talking about that in depth.
Well, I look forward to that as well. And recently you did a teaching on lessons learned from the Great Recession. And before we get into your teaching, we'd like to share some email responses that we had from some of our listeners about that particular teaching.
Well, they really blessed me, Dave. Here's one from Clarissa. Hi, Chuck. Thank you for your hard work with Crown Financial Ministries. I thank God for your staff and the volunteers that use their talents and strengths to glorify Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the lessons I've learned during the Great Recession. God is good, and His mercies endure forever. God is faithful. However, we must make an effort, as He told Joshua 3 times. Good times don't last forever, so you must save and prepare for the bad times, as Joseph learned in his dream. And world theories and teachings fail and pass and go away, but God's word is always good and useful. Isn't that great?
That is a great one. This next one is from Elizabeth, and she writes, "Hello, Chuck. Thanks for your ministry. My family has been aggressively paying additional amounts to our principal on our mortgage each month and investing much less. I was surprised by how much money we were able to put each month toward the mortgage when we decided to do that. What I've learned is that the advice my grandparents gave me when I was younger was true. Our economy could fail just like it did when they were young."
Wow. Amen to that one. Here's another one. "Dear Chuck, my lesson is to see how greatly blessed I am to have been introduced 7 years ago to an amazing Christian financial advisor with a perspective on investing that I hadn't heard before. With my financial advisor's wise policies, my investments have remained secure through this desperately difficult time in our country. Thank you for the great help you are to so many people." Well, it is my pleasure to be a part of this ministry and to serve each of you every day, and thank you for writing me. I continue to get emails, and if you want to join us on Facebook or to send an email to me about the lessons you've learned, you can do that at chuckbentley@crown.org.
Well, once again, if you want to connect with us via Facebook, just go on to crown.org. You'll find the link to becoming a fan of Crown Financial Ministries. And again, if you want to write to Chuck, you can email him at chuckbentley@crown.org. Well, in just a moment, Chuck will be teaching about how to fulfill God's purposes for your life. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and He says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective, written by Austin Prior. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet, it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about one of the most overlooked components of this idea of being a biblical steward. And do you know what it is? Well, before I tell you, let's review the two other components of being a godly steward. And most people know those. The first component is how you make money. The Lord told us we had to go to work and that we're to work as unto the Lord. Most people in our country have that down pat. In fact, we're one of the hardest working people of any nation in the world. I think it's true that we work more hours, more people work more hours in this nation than any other industrialized nation. So we have the working part down. We have the making money part down pretty well. Here's the second component of being a biblical steward, that you manage money according to God's financial principles. Now, we struggle with that part, and we talk a lot about it. That's how you save money, how you budget, how you spend money, how you give money. All of those components are a part of your management practices. But the third part of being a biblical steward, a godly steward, is using what God has given you for the fulfillment of God's purposes for your life. And that's the part we so often overlook. We start out with this pressure to work and produce, and then we struggle to learn to manage what we have, but seldom we never really aim at the right target. We never slow down long enough to think about, are we making money and managing it wisely in order to use it to fulfill God's purposes for our life? Now, there are some actions that you can take, and today we're going to talk about those, that these actions will ensure that if you do them, then you will be aiming at the right target. You will be using God's resources to fulfill His purposes for your life. So, how do you do that? Well, I've got five practical ways that you can begin to do it. Here's number one. Set lifestyle goals for spiritual, physical, and financial health based upon your life purpose. Okay, let me say that again. Set lifestyle goals for spiritual, physical, and financial health based on your purpose. In other words, be intentional. You know, God didn't create us to get up every day and go to work, to come home, to spend a few hours watching TV, surfing the web, and then finding a little time to go shopping. You know, I heard the expression the other day that many people really believe they need retail therapy after a long day at work. They've just got to hit some place to go shopping. Even, online at some thrift store or their favorite retail center, they've just got to go and get a little retail therapy as if that was going to add meaning and purpose to your life. But do you realize that watching TV, surfing the web, and doing a little shopping therapy is not a fulfilling life purpose? Now, there are reasons that you're stuck in that kind of trap, because the enemy wants you stuck believing that that's your purpose. He wants you deceived to think that that's getting you anywhere. It's not. That's the deception of man's economy, seeking to distract you and to divert you, to keep you from rising above that and saying, Lord, what am I on earth here to accomplish? And I want to do that, and these other things are just distractions. And I want to get them out of my life so that I can focus on what you've put me here for. Now, let me give you a real practical tip. If you will set a spending limit, then you'll begin to realize that you have that spending limit so that you're not just being blown around and tossed back and forth by every whim and spontaneous desire to go shopping or to buy something. That you actually have a purpose for how you want to use the resources that God's given you. You're going to spend fewer on yourself and more on the things that fulfill your purpose. So you're going to use some of that money to get in better shape. You're going to use some of that money to be a better spiritual condition, and to have financial health and margin so that you can do the things that God wants you to do. And if you're continually being convinced that you're discontent without things, then the enemy is going to keep you stuck. That's why you have to set limits. You have to set goals around the things that you want to accomplish while you're here on earth. That will help you to become intentional. Now, if you have a copy of your money map, you have to work through this exercise to define your life purpose around your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, the service you want to accomplish for other people, and then to use a scripture to wrap it together to give it some real focus so that your life verse will communicate what God puts you here for. And then you make goals around fulfilling your life purpose. Now, here's practical step number two. Once you've determined that you're going to have limits around your spending so you can be intentional around these other goals in your life to fulfill your purpose beyond watching TV, surfing the web, and doing a little shopping occasionally, the second step is to balance your work with time for healthy relationships. Think about it. We are so busy, and our lives are so cluttered with activities. Everything is scheduled. I had a missionary friend who moved back to this country after years and years and years out on the mission field. And he said he was actually very lonely in his neighborhood because nobody came over. And in the country where he lived, everybody passed through each other's house on a regular basis. He said today people aren't outside playing. They're sitting home on their computers. The kids aren't in the front yard. There's not a lot of neighbors passing through each other's homes. There's not a lot of interaction. He said he was shocked at how sterile the environment seems to be in this country. And there's not time to sit on the front porch and talk, to have dinner together, to do spontaneous things, to help each other out. And I think a big part of that is many times we are stuck as job slaves. We're truly slaves to work, 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 work. And oftentimes we're workaholics and we don't even realize it, that we're totally out of balance and there's no time left in our life for genuine relationships. We're simply striving to get ahead. And as a result, all of the opportunity to love other people, to serve their needs, to listen to their problems, to be caring and kind and helpful to the things that are going on in their life, it's gone. You may want to, but you have no balance. You haven't been able to carve out the necessary time because you're in what I call the hamster wheel. You're going around and around and around and around, and you're thinking about getting the bills paid, but you're not able to do what God put you here to do. Well, today in this program, we're going to talk about three more practical steps that will help you to fulfill God's purposes for your life and to be the godly steward He intended for you to be. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Has the economy pressured you to rethink your career? Does your heart long to take the next step and pursue God's true calling for your life? Whether you're planning for your first job or your last, the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries can help. With Career Direct, you'll analyze four critical areas: your personality, skills, interests, and values. You'll learn more about the real you and develop a plan to grow personally and professionally. You'll learn to see your strengths. And the Career Direct Complete Guidance System is designed from a biblical perspective to help you maximize your career by maximizing your God-given gifts and abilities. Career Direct can be completed in about an hour online. For more, go to CareerDirectOnline.org and try the free Personality ID Profile. That's CareerDirectOnline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're talking about the practical ways to be a godly steward by focusing on fulfilling God's purposes for your life. We started off with step number one, to set lifestyle goals for spiritual, physical, and financial health based on fulfilling God's purposes for your life. Secondly, to find balance in your life so that you have time for healthy relationships, that you have time for other people. I know I struggle with this, and I have to constantly be reminded that honoring others above ourselves by giving them of our time is one of the key ways to fulfilling God's purposes for our life. The Bible says to think of others more highly than you think of yourself. You know, I remember my pastor years ago preached a sermon about this, and he said, "How many of you are actually people pleasers?" And I didn't raise my hand, but inside I thought, I not only should raise my hand, I should stand up and wave both hands. He nailed me. And he said, "You know, you probably think that's a good thing." And I was thinking, yes, I do. Well, he said, if you're a people pleaser, you have trouble saying no. You have trouble getting away from work on time. You're always doing a little bit extra. And you're probably stuck in a rut and your life is out of balance. He said, you need to get over that because that's sinful. You need to be a God pleaser. And a God pleaser is not stuck as a job slave, trying to please the boss every time he turns around. There's a limit to what you can do at work. But other people need your time. And to be a God pleaser, make time for other people. Now, here's the third practical expression to fulfill God's purposes for your life. That's to grow in spiritual disciplines and accountability. It's very foolish to think that you can fulfill God's purposes for your life if you don't know what He wants you to do. Now, God has placed you on this earth. He's placed you in His body so that you can do what He wants you to do. But if you're not spending time in His Word, and you're not getting to know Him, and you're too consumed with worry and fear and stress and debt is eating your lunch, then you're probably not taking time to be in God's Word. And listen to this from Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Scripture tells us that this should be a priority, to stir each other up towards love and good works. And when you're in God's Word regularly, and you're feeding your soul with the nourishment that comes from His Word, then you begin to want to do those things. And let me just make a comment about Christian books. I had a friend tell me one time that his opinion is that good Christian books are like fast food. They have some calories that will help you, but they don't have the best nutritional value. And the very best food is from God's Word, directly from God's Word. In my own life, George Mueller inspired me. He said, if you don't have time to read God's Word every day, then I challenge you to take this test. Get up every day an hour earlier and spend time in His Word, and work 1 hour less and see if you don't get more accomplished over time than if you had skipped that hour in Bible study and prayer and gone to work and added an extra hour to your day. I took him up on that challenge. I began to practice that, and it was a lot of effort, but it's made all the difference in my life. I wouldn't change it for anything. Now, here's another practical way, another practical step to be sure that you're fulfilling God's purposes for your life. Invest in your children and in the future generation of this country with a spiritual wisdom transfer plan. Do you realize that your children are going to mirror your best and worst behaviors? Now, I know that's difficult. I know it's painful, but it's just true. That's why I think we have to be so intentional about having the practices in our own home so that our children are growing in wisdom, and we're focused more on transferring wisdom to them than we are transferring wealth. I love what R.G. Letourneau said when asked if he was going to leave a fortune to his children. People were challenging his planning because he was giving away 90% of his income and only living on 10%. And they said, what about your children? And he said, my wife and I have been intentional about raising our children. We want to leave them as a gift to the world instead of the world as a gift to them. Now, that is proper thinking. That frees you up from striving so that you can leave a bunch of money to your children, but overlooking their real need, which is to set an example that godly wisdom is to be cherished above the money. So do you set an example by how you live, how you handle money, how you spend time, the balance that you have in your life? Are you able to relax? Are you able to reflect contentment? Are you able to reflect joy in your life? Are you at peace and able to sit down and have long, deep conversations with them? Those are some of the practices that God wants you to have. And here's the final one. If you're going to fulfill God's purposes for your life, always seek godly counsel. Avoid seeking the wisdom of the world. I can't tell you how many problems I see and how many people I counsel with that were deceived by some financial decision that they made based on the philosophies of this world. And if they'd have just checked it against God's Word or with a godly friend and decided to be open to hear some counsel, then I think they could have avoided buying too much house. I think they could have avoided some of these crazy car payments that they have, some of the lifestyle choices that they've made, some of the investments that they've made, some of the ways that they've spent their time and their energy on things that had no enduring value at all. Seek godly counsel at all times and ask the Holy Spirit to confirm His will for you by getting advice from others. Well, when we come back, we'll wrap up our discussion today on ways to fulfill God's purposes for your life. Thanks for listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we've been talking about the most overlooked component of being a godly steward. As we said earlier, oftentimes we put all of our emphasis on making money, going to work and earning a living, and then a little bit of emphasis on how we manage it. That is, what we save, what we invest, what we give, how we budget, how we spend. A lot of emphasis goes into those first two areas. But many times we have the cart before the horse. And the real driver should be fulfilling God's purposes for your life. As I said earlier, and I want you to hear me, God did not put you on this earth to simply go to work every day, and then to get home for a little while in the evenings, watch a few things on the web, and to surf a few TV channels, and then to find ways to spend money and to go shopping. The Lord put you here to accomplish far more than that. And I've listed five practical steps that you can do to be sure that you're fulfilling God's purposes for your life. The first was to set lifestyle goals for spiritual, physical, and financial health centered around your purpose. And I recommended that you get a money map and work through those exercises. Ask the hard questions and then set some goals around living a purposeful life. Second, to find balance in your life. Don't overwork. Save time for healthy, loving relationships with your family, with your friends, people at church, people at work, all those that God has put into your life to serve. Third, grow in spiritual disciplines. Spend time in God's Word. Get up earlier every day if you have to. Start out by putting this practice to the test. 15 minutes extra each morning. Set the alarm. 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it takes, but spend time getting your mind renewed out of the things of this world. Get the advertising out of your head. Get all the impressions of media out of your head. And let your soul be fed by the pure Word of God. Number four, invest in your children and their future. Transfer spiritual wisdom to them. Allow them to pursue their dreams and be equipped for what God put them on earth to accomplish. And then finally, to seek Christian counsel at every juncture, to avoid making decisions based upon the philosophy of this world and to get trapped in man's economy. That will allow you to be free to live in God's economy. Well, I hope that's been helpful to you, and I do want to remind you that Easter is coming up this weekend, and I'd like to invite you to become a financial partner in this ministry. We need your help now, and as a way of saying thank you, we want to offer you the Lifted Up DVD and Companion Study Guide this month for a gift of any amount. You can do that by going online to crown.org, scrolling down to the banner that says Lifted Up, and you can make your donation online, and I hope to hear from you. You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.